Chof Beis Cheshvin, 4th of November, Rabbi Moshe Levi, Eliezer, the true servant.
This week's parasha, beginning, we get a little bit of last information about Abraham Avinu. Comes back from doing the Akedah. According to many opinions, this is the 10th test. As great as the Akedah was, many opinions say the 10th test was you come home, find out that your wife died, she had a heart attack because she heard about what happened. Are you going to regret it? You're going to say, oh yeah, I shouldn't have done it. You say in the evening services, V'atzel ha-satan lefanenu, ma'acharenu. Protect us from the satan before us and in back of us. What does that mean, in back of us? Sometimes you'll do something. You'll give some tzedakah. And then it comes, and you want to buy something, and I gave away all my change. Do you regret giving the tzedakah? Or not? The Satan doesn't just try and get us beforehand. Even afterwards. Abraham Avinu, is he going to regret it or not? That's why we say, V'ayu chaye sarah, me'a shana, asim shana, v'sheva shanim, shine chaye sarah. Pasuk repeats the obvious words it just said in the beginning. Shine chaye sarah. Why? To let us know that's how long she was meant to live. I just came back yesterday. I was in New York. My grandmother, who was 97 and a half, was nifter. And many times I said to my mother, you'll think, I should have tried this, I should have done that, if only I... Whatever was meant to be, was meant to be. You do your hishtadud, you do your effort. And whatever was meant to be, that she lived exactly how long she was meant to live. Many people, they always think, I could have, I should have, that someone recommended... You do a normal amount of hishtadut, of effort, and shenech hayesara, whatever is meant to be. Abraham Avinu understood this, he didn't regret. Chas v'shalom da akedah. Abraham Avinu buys the Marat HaMachpelah, and that's pretty much all we hear from him. He gave a shiur here a couple years ago, if I'm not mistaken, maybe last year. About Yitzchak, why we don't know much about Yitzchak. But the main character in this week's parasha is Eliezer. Eliezer, we know Eliezer, he keeps on telling when he goes to Bituel, I'm Eved Abraham, I'm the servant of Abraham. Now who was Eliezer? Anybody know where his family was, where he came from? Damesek. Damesek Beti. Says Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, and the Gemara Megillah tells us from Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, when he writes his Perush, Nizdaza Olam, there's an earthquake, the world shakes. And a bat call, a voice comes out and says, who's revealing my secrets to the world? He says things we never could have known or would have known. Says, Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, you know who Eliezer's father is? None other than Nimrod. Nimrod, the guy who throws Abraham Avinu into the fire. His father, his son Eliezer becomes the right-hand man of seemingly his arch-nemesis. You see something interesting again. You also see by Mitzrayim, Abraham Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim. Paro sees greatness. What does he do? Takes his daughter and says, go. And I don't think Nimrod told Eliezer to go with Abraham. But we know Nimrod is Gibor Hayel. He's a warrior. He wanted to be the king of the world. He's the head of the one building the tower. He believed in Hashem. He's building a tower to fight him, if you will. It's another shiur for another time. What was he thinking? How could he do it? So Uziel Malevsky brings down a very interesting perush. He says, if you're going to build a tower to reach the heavens, where are you going to build this tower? No. Top of a mountain. Where does it say that they were building their tower? In the valley. What are they thinking? And on a simple level, how are they going to get up to Shammai and fight God? Did they really think he was something physical, someone physical? Uziel Malevsky explains, no. It wasn't about reaching the heavens to fight Hashem. It was when we build this magnificent tower and they pick the most central location, no matter where you are, you'll be able to see this tower. The fighting of Hashem was going to be, we don't need Hashem. When we work together, we can do anything. Not that we're going to physically fight Hashem. We don't need Hashem. So Hashem says, Kaviyochel, you're right. Not that you don't need Hashem, but when you work together, you can do anything. He takes away their unity. Nimrod tries it again. When does he try it again? You have World War I. Four kings versus the five kings. Who is the head of the four kings? Nimrod. And once again he says, if everyone will be under my control and my dominion, and I'll be the king, once again I'll have everyone together, working for me, if you will, and we'll show that we don't need God. That's one of the reasons Abraham Avinu has to go to war, of course, to save Lot as well. But he has to defeat Nimrod, because this idea that we don't need Hashem and I'll be in charge. Nimrod was a gibor. Eliezer sees the truth. He sees Abraham Avinu get saved from the fire. And he says, I'm going with Abraham. And he goes to war against his father. In the war, Abraham and Eliezer against Nimrod, against the four kings, Amraphel. So Eliezer was somebody that was obviously a very special person. Eliezer was somebody that could have been, theoretically, it seems like, inheriting the kingship to be the number one guy. But he saw the emet. He sees the truth. And he's very happy to be a servant. To be Eved Hashem. And to be the Eved, to be the slave of Abraham Avinu. Could have been the king of the world. He's happy to be the slave of Abraham. Because he sees the truth. And he sees the emet. Now I always think about it and find it amazing. Eliezer is the right hand man of Abraham Avinu. For I don't know exactly how many, but we know it's for sure before Yitzchak's born. Yitzchak at this stage is 40. So I would say at least 70, 80 years he's with Abraham Avinu. He's his right hand man. Abraham Avinu comes to Eliezer and he says, we need to find somebody for my son to marry. We need to find a good girl. And we all know, what does Eliezer say? Ulai lo tavei aisha lechet achai. Maybe I won't find anybody. And our rabbis tell us what he really was saying was, Eli, to me, I have a daughter. I have a daughter. What does Abraham Avinu say? Lo tikach mibnot Kenan. Don't take from the Canaanite women. They're cursed. Noah cursed them. Arur Kenan. Let's put this in perspective. I'll give you an example. I've been here 5 years. I had to now take a life in the UK test and study all these random facts that I don't think 80-90% of English people would not be able to get over a 40 or 50. They start asking you, what are the names of the six wives of King Henry, the so-and-so, and what, you know, all the answers. And I said to my wife, you know, I don't mind knowing the relevant stuff. The stuff that happened in the past 50 to 100 years, how many MPs there are, and how many there are in Scotland, how many there are in Northern Ireland, and, you know, at what age can you vote, and at what age can you drink, and when can you serve, that's relevant. But to know what happened, like, King, you know, in so-and-so, why he conquered this land, was it 1382, 1384, 86, or 88, like, okay. So we passed the life in the UK test, Baruch Hashem, and now I need to get what's called indefinite leave to remain. Indefinite leave to remain. You're able to stay here after being 5 years on a visa. Now, I don't know much about this. They give you forms, hundreds of pages of forms. So, to get a proper attorney, a proper lawyer, solicitor take care of it would be very, very expensive. We have a family friend. This is what she does. She works for Teacher Stearns. So I must have sent her 100 emails. Do I need this form? Do I fill this? Is it considered this day? I'm a tier two. Is it a tier two migrant? A tier two minister of religion? A million different questions. At a certain point, after like 100 emails, she's like, you know what, Rabbi? Just come to my home. I'll go through all the forms with you to make sure. Right? I sit down with her and her husband, and we're going through all the forms. And after an hour and a half, it's 10 o'clock at night now, she says, I think you're good. Now imagine if at the end of all this, I said to her, you know, I have this really big thing I need to take care of. And I've been saving up like 20, 30,000 pounds. And I know that this is your field. Maybe you could recommend a good solicitor. Yeah? How much of a chutzpah would that be? This person doing me a favor, taking so much time for free, not charging me, helping me out, and I have the audacity to say, maybe you could recommend a good lawyer? Yeah? It would be the biggest slap in the face. Yeah. That's exactly what Abraham Avinu is doing to Eliezer. He's been with them for 70 years, 80 years.
He's his right hand man. He's a very special holy man. He gave up everything to be the Eved of Abraham Avinu. He has a daughter. Yitzchak's looking. And what does Abraham Avinu say?
You're cursed.
Can't. Maybe you can find me someone good. How could Abraham Avinu do that? And Eliezer, no problem. In general, you have to ask the question. The Rana asked this question. Abraham Avinu says, you must take from my family. My family. Abraham Avinu's family was so great. Eliezer goes to the house. Lavan. We all know about Lavan. Future parashiot. Ramai. The guy's a thief, a liar, cheat. Bituel, according to Midrash, tries to kill Eliezer. Eh? This is the family of Abraham Avinu, so only my family. Eliezer seems like a much better guy. I would assume his daughter was a good firm girl. He's, Abraham Avinu is saying, only my family? Look at your family. Not a very good family. And the Rana answers something that I think is very important, especially in today's day and age. I often get asked, Rabbi, you deal with all these kids, they're not from, or certain kids you deal with and they're on drugs. How do you deal with them? They're not good kids. Any psychiatrist, psychologist, anybody who deals in chinuch and parenting will always tell you, you don't tell the kid, bad boy. You don't tell the kid, you're a bad girl. What do you say? What you did is bad. The kid's not bad. They shouldn't, chas v'shalom, think they're a bad kid. This that you colored on the wall is a bad thing. This that you didn't tell the truth, bad thing. You're not bad. Abraham Avinu understood that. He looked at his family and they're what we would call these bad people. Lavan, Bituel, Abraham understood they're not bad people. They haven't been taught properly. They're misguided. But if you sat down and you opened up the books and you showed them the Emet, and they're willing to be rational, they're good people. Just happens to be they haven't been taught right. They haven't been brought up properly. Many people, Tinok Shinishbar. This is the way they grew up. No one ever showed it to them. But Abraham Avinu understood, my family is inherently good. Happens to be. That no one ever taught them, this is wrong, that's wrong, this you shouldn't do. So the guy's a conniving trickster, the guy's a ramai. But ultimately, deep down, that potential is a very special potential. You see it with Rivka. You see it with Eliezer. Theoretically, you see it with Yaakov and Esav. Deep down, there's the goodness. It's just a matter of what is blocking all that goodness. Abraham Avinu looks at Eliezer and says, your family is cursed. It's in the DNA. It's in the genes. It's inherent. Baruch Hashem, you were able to get past that and be an Eliezer. And be a special person and be a tzaddik. But in your DNA, and it's going to come out eventually, is to be bad. I had someone come to me one time and say, Rabbi, how come Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, they don't marry Timna? Right? We know the Midrash tells us. Timna is this very special righteous woman. She sees great people and she wants to get involved. And she comes to Abraham. Abraham's not interested. She comes to Yitzchak, comes to Yaakov, not interested. Who does she end up marrying? Eliphaz. Because she just wants to be connected to the families. The guy said to me, Rabbi, why didn't they do it? I said to him, we all know the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. And why was Bar Kamsa upset? All the rabbis were there. All of them saw me getting kicked out and no one said anything. Why didn't anybody say anything? He's got a good point. Don't embarrass the guy. And I said to him, you know why? Because they understood this guy was a bad guy. Look at what he ends up doing. He's embarrassed, he's insulted, he ends up going to the authorities and trying to get everybody killed. The Chachamim understood this guy's got issues. This guy's a bad guy. He doesn't deserve to be there. He's in Chayrim. Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, they look at Timna and they say it's great that she wants, but we can't accept her because in that DNA, in that blood, in their genes, there's bad. From Eliphaz comes Amalek. That's where it's coming from. It's there in the DNA. Abraham Avinu sees that and says to Eliezer, in the DNA of Canaan, bad. Pasul. Can't take it. My family, they might be acting bad, but they're inherently good. You see that in Rivka, next week's parasha. And the babies are kicking in her stomach. She thinks it's one baby. And she says, "Im ken, if so, lama ze anochi? Why me?" And she goes to ask Shem and Ever, "What's going on with my baby? What does it mean? Im ken, lama ze anochi? If so, why me? What does that mean? The babies are kicking her. She thinks it's one baby. Sometimes he wants to do good. Sometimes he wants to do bad. If so, why me? What is that? What does that mean?" Mefarshim explained, to have somebody who's a little bit of this and a little bit of that, sometimes good, sometimes bad, that's worse than someone who's bad. You look at the end of Parashat Noach, and you have Abraham Avinu's brother Haran. How does Haran die, our rabbis tell us? He was waiting. If Abraham Avinu gets saved from the fire, I'm with him. If not, I'm with Nimrod. A lot of times people, they support a sports team. Who do you go for? Whichever team's in first place. That's their team. Yeah, they're the front runners. Haran, whichever team wins, I'm with them. He dies. Why? Because even, you might say, look, you know, he's willing to choose the good side. He's not firm in who he is and his beliefs. Like they call Achashverosh. Sort of here, sort of there. Abraham Avinu says, that's not what we're about. We need someone who's going to be firm. And even if they're firm in their reshut and their badness, if you could sit down and talk to them, they'll then be shown the right way and they'll be firm in that. But to be nishtahe and nishtahe, as they say, to be here and there, that you can't be. Sometimes you have people and they know they're doing the wrong thing. That's better than someone who's convinced himself he's doing the right thing. Why? Because they know they're doing the wrong thing. I deal with people like, "Rabbi, I know I should be more religious. It's just too hard for me." Great, we can sit down, talk about it, work it slowly but surely. But the guy knows he's doing the wrong thing. I deal with a lot of people, they convince themselves they're doing the right thing. So you can't even start talking. You can try and say, they're not interested, I'm doing the right thing. When you deal with someone who knows I'm doing the wrong thing, much easier, much better in a way. Even though he's wrong, the other guy sometimes does some good. That's worse, because now he's convinced himself he's a good guy. Haran, he's here and there and everywhere. Hashem says, we're not going to save this guy. He gets thrown to the fire. No. Because he doesn't have that firm belief. Rivka says, "Im ken, lama ze anochi? I have a child that's sort of here, sort of there. One's good and one's bad. They picked me. They made sure Abraham Avinu insisted on getting from his family. Because he said, we're going to teach them the right way. But they need to be firm." Rivka grew up in a house of Bituel and Lavan. And she was very firm in who she was and her belief. That's why they picked Rivka. "Im ken, lama ze anochi?" Obviously, the Mefarshim will tell us they picked Rivka because Rivka was Ishat Chesed. Although, if you want to get a little bit deeper, they explain that every couple, a husband and a wife, one's Din and one's Chesed. You have Sarah. What does Sarah say? "Gareshet ben omazo." Get rid of Ishmael. What is she? Din, judgment, no games. Abraham Avinu, we all know, Chesed. You look at Yitzchak, what is Yitzchak?
Din.
Gevura Din. So it has to be, what is Eliezer looking for?
It
has to be Chesed. He can't be looking for another Din. It doesn't go. Yaakov Avinu. Our rabbis tell us, Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim. What's the grammatical mistake with that? Yoshev Ba'ohel. It shouldn't say he sits in tents. He can't be in two places at once. What does it mean, Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim? Yoshev Ohel. So Mefarshim explained, no, Yoshev Ohalim, he was in both tents. He was able to be in the tent of Chesed and the tent of Din. He was able to balance both. That's why he's sitting in tents. That's why he needs more than one wife. He has to be balanced out. I see you're all thinking right now, "Yeah, I'm Mr. Chesed, my wife." She's the Din. Sometimes I gotta put my foot down, but you know, I'm the nice guy. There's always Chesed and there's always Din. Hashem always puts together the two opposites that attract, and that's what makes the balance. And the answer has to be looking for Chesed. But he looks at Rivka and he sees she grows up in a home. In general, you have to ask the question. I was discussing with someone this week. I said, first of all, how can they send Eliezer to pick a wife for Yitzchak? We all know the Gemara and Kiddushin, beginning of the second Perek. You're not supposed to send the Shiliach, why not? Shema Yitzchak davar meguna. He's going to find something that he doesn't like, and the Pasuk says, "V'hafter echa kamocha." So first of all, how could you send Eliezer to go find for Yitzchak? Second of all, he's an Eved. Does an Eved have a Yad? I'm not going to get into all the halachot. Does an Eved have a Yad to be Mekadesh? And even if you want to tell me, Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoto, Rabbi Asher Weiss discusses how Rashi brings down that Abraham Avinu signs a contract, everything he has is now Yitzchak's. Who sent Eliezer? Abraham. So he's not the Shliach of Yitzchak. Abraham's the one who sent it. So it's not Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoto. Okay. Chora, you'd have to say some type of brisker Torah. That Eliezer did the Maisa Kiddushin, and then Yitzchak comes and does the Chalois. But get into it at a different time.
Just picked her up to bring her.
No, it says he gives her the Nezem and the Mefashim. The Gemara discusses. Three people did Shuloka Hogan. They did like they shouldn't have done. And two ended up being good, one ended up being bad. Right? One of them is this story. Eliezer says, whoever is the right one, what if she would have been a mamzeret? And he's Mekadosh, he gives her the Nezim, he gives her the rings. Eh? And then it discusses that Shaul HaMelech says, whoever can kill Goliath, marry my daughter. Ends up being David, but once again it could have been a mamzer, it could have been a rasha. And Yiftach is the third one. He says, whatever comes out of my barn, I'll give as a korban to Hashem. Ends up being his daughter. I saw one rabbi discusses, he says, how come for the first two worked out and for Yiftach it didn't? Because the first two was about Shiduchim. When it comes to Shiduchim, when it comes to marriage, Hashem will sort you out. You're trying to make a marriage? Don't worry, Hashem will take care of you. Yiftach, it wasn't about marriage. It wasn't about Shiduchim. But once again, it seems like Eliezer, he's Mekadesher, he takes her, he brings her home. Otherwise, Yitzchak, and it even seems like Yitzchak says, what's it got to do with me? I didn't agree to this. The Midrash says, Yitzchak says, I don't know, I don't want her. Only once, by Avia Oela Sarah, he brings it to the tent and he sees all the miracles that happened to Sarah happen to Rivka, then he says, all right, I'm in. How does it work? L'chora, you'd have to say something along those lines. He did the Ma'aseh Kiddushin, but it wasn't complete till Yitzchak comes and does the Chalot. Okay. Otherwise, I don't know how you would answer a lot of those questions. He's an Eved. How does he do it? He never got sent by Yitzchak. What do we see about Eliezer? Eliezer is told by Abraham Avinu, you're cursed. Eliezer is told by Abraham Avinu, go get someone else. Seems like a chutzpah. It's like me telling this lawyer who did me all these favors and spent so much time, maybe you can find me a nice lawyer. And if Hashem explained, no. Abraham Avinu understood who Eliezer is, and more importantly, Eliezer understood who he is and who he isn't. So often you deal with people, and I know a guy who wants to be a Rav. This guy is unbelievable with kids. The best machana for kids. But what happens? He says, I'm better than that. I can do more than kids. His koach is not with grown-ups. It's good. But that's not why Hashem put him into this world. You have to know what you can do and what you can't do. Eliezer understood what it means to be an Eved. He understood what it means to be a servant. And he said, I know my place, I know who I am. And if I'm cursed, said, I did the best thing I could do with me, I used my potential, my talent, I gave up everything being the son of Nimrod, then I'm going to go do. But I understand my limitations. That's a true Eved. That's a true Eved. Where does he see that from? He sees that from Abraham Avinu. Abraham Avinu was never worried about his legacy. He was always worried about Hashem's legacy. He wasn't asking Hashem, oh, I don't have any kids. He was saying, well, who's going to continue all this? Who's going to be the one that perpetuates the teachings that I've taught to show the world that you exist, Hashem? Not for me. For you. Eliezer Damesik Beti, he's an Eved, he's a slave, he's from Canaan. Abraham Avinu thought it was going to be Lot. But then he sees Lot go off to Sodom. And his priorities are money. He says, this is not the right guy, so now who's it going to be? He had no problem with it being Lot. He wasn't worried about his legacy, he was worried about Hashem's legacy. That's in true Eved. That's a true slave. Someone who understands who they are and what they can do and what they're all about. You look at an Eliezer, you say, wow, unbelievable. The guy is Abraham's servant for 70, 80 years. And Abraham tells him, you're cursed, go find me someone else. And he says, no problem. That's the Eved. Imagine how great the master is. But he learned that from an Avraham Avinu. He learned that from an Avraham who wasn't worried about what are people going to say about me. He was never worried about himself. That's the whole thing of the Akedah. They're going to say, the hypocrite, he didn't care. It's not about me. It's about Hashem. Eliezer is the servant of Avraham Avinu. And he says, I know who I am and what I can do and what I can't do. So often we try and be something we're not. We try and be something that society dictates. We try and go a certain way, dress a certain way, go to certain shuls, go to certain places, go to certain holidays. Eliezer is an Eved. And he's happy to be an Eved. Someone said to me one time, the Gemara says, the Mashiach comes, all the goyim are going to be our slaves. Is that true? He said, I'll give you an example. Imagine this a few years ago. I said, imagine they come to you and they say, Chacham Ovadia is looking for a new gabbai. Looking for a new right-hand man. Well, what does the job entail? You drive him from place to place. You pick up his laundry. You make sure his meetings are set up. Would you do it? And I said, of course. I said, they're not really going to pay very well. Minimum. He says, of course. I'm in. Get to be the right-hand man of Chacham Ovadia. I said, when Mashiach comes, every goy is going to look at the Jews and realize, him. Each one's a Chacham Ovadia. Each one's a Chaim Kanievsky. I get to be his right-hand man. I'm in. Not a slave in the sense that they're sitting there being whipped. Not a slave, you do this and do that for me in a degrading way. I have the zchut, I have the merit. Eliezer looks at Abraham and says he's proud to be an Eved. We say every day on Shabbat, every Shabbat, Yismach Moshe Manatanat Kalkol. What is Moshe happy about? He Eved, he's happy to be a slave. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest man who ever lived. Eved. Same thing with Abraham Avinu. He used that same term of Ne'eman. Ke'eved Ne'eman karat alo, it says about Moshe and Abraham Avinu as well. B'cho beti Ne'eman. Right? He's Ne'eman. Abraham Avinu is happy to be a slave of Hashem. Eliezer is happy to be the right-hand man / slave of Abraham Avinu. He knows his place and he knows who he is. And he knows that he's cursed. And he knows his place, but he's happy. Because I have the zchut just to be close to Abraham. We have to understand, we are the slaves of Hashem. And we're lucky. We're lucky to be that. We're lucky to be in the Amam Nivchar. Eliezer is the slave, but he teaches us so much. He teaches us, you got to know your place. You got to know who you are and what you could possibly do. I'll end with the story I heard this week. They had in Tibet, very old building, people used to come, almost like a museum, and they had this very old chair. Made out of clay, hundreds of years old. And they had to do renovations on the building, so they had to move the chair, and they get 20 guys, and they start moving the chair, and it's ridiculously heavy, and they're taking it outside, and it starts pouring rain. And they can't hold it, it's pouring rain, but they have this hundreds of year old chair. There's nothing they can do. They put down the chair, they can't. They needed 20 guys to move it. Later that evening, it stops raining, and they come out, and the curator, the guy, he wants to see what's the damage. What's the damage? And he's sitting there, the candles looking, and he realizes that this chair made out of clay is starting to crack a little bit, and he gets closer, and he just touches it a little bit, and the whole thing starts to crumble. And he's very worried. It's an artifact. But he notices underneath, something's off. And he scrapes away a little bit more, and a little bit more. And long story short, they realize that this chair was actually made out of gold. They did a lot of research. They found out that hundreds of years beforehand there was a massive war. And the people were worried that the chair ended up being worth hundreds of millions of dollars worth of gold would be taken. So they covered it in clay. And pretty much everyone that was there that knew got killed in the war. So when they came back, they had no idea that their chair was really made out of gold and worth hundreds of millions. They thought it's a nice clay chair. And I thought to myself, that's us. That's us. We're these chairs made out of gold. What happens? We think we're made out of clay. We have so many layers, so many levels, we don't realize the greatness of who we are and what we can do. We think, Eliezer knew who he was, and he was very proud of who he was, and who he wasn't. He knew who he wasn't. He knew what he wasn't. He knew that he was cursed. He knew, I'm not the right family. Avraham Avinu says, no, the Jewish people, they might be covered in clay, underneath is gold. Yeah, you look at a Lavan, you look at a Bituel, and they're not doing the right thing. We'll strip away the clay and they're gold. But it's in their DNA. Rivka, gold. In her DNA, not here and not there, and not convincing themselves doing the right thing. She knows who she is. Lavan might be a bad guy. We'll sit down, we'll teach him properly, and hopefully he'll be good. But it's in his DNA. We get rid of the clay and this gold. Eliezer understood that. Abraham Avinu understood that. And when we look at these parashiyot, we have to start understanding that. What does it mean to be an Eved Hashem? It's not about me. I know what I can, what I can't do, and I know I'm here to serve Hashem. Eliezer dedicated. And he understood, I do what I am who I am, I do what I can do. I'm here to serve Abraham and ultimately serve Hashem. And that's what we have to do as well. Bezat Hashem will make sure we learn the lessons of Eliezer. Learn the lessons of Abraham Avinu, and that zechut will be true. Avdim Ne'emanim, true servants of Hashem. And that's a chut. We'll bring the Mashiach to Kerem Herem. Amen. Amen.